a sense of guilt and shame to put our house in order. A lot of education is ongoing, and we are mainstreaming media education and protection of journalists and the media to a level that it is helping us to have a situation where we are gradually getting to a point where journalists are not being attacked by us. We have a lot of work to do in that angle. We want to assure you today that we'll continue improving so that a day will come, because it's one of the measures we are using to determine whether we have truly become the best institution in the country and a reference point for the rest of the world. So it does not take that of mainstreaming this sense of protection of journalism and the media. We don't take it for granted. It is in this that we have also made sure that our disciplinary processes, when it comes to how the police deal with the public, and more importantly with other stakeholders, particularly the media, has been strengthened in such a way that if you are found foul of it, you'll be dealt with in a manner to serve as a deterrent for the rest of the police population. So that is one major thing we are doing, putting our house together in order. The other point, it means that when there is going to be an attack, at least by doing our homework well, it may not come from us, but it may come from other sources. And what are we doing in that angle to help to ensure that this does not happen? And even if it does happen, it is handled in such a way that it is deterrent enough. First, we have had a situation where we thought that self-preservation is the first starting point. And we know that after this dialogue, there's going to be opportunity for some form of education. And we are going to partner with resources to ensure that we have that education so that all the expertise that we have from security point of view will be brought to bear so that journalists also benefit from it for their self-preservation. Even though we have been doing it at different levels, but we want to make sure that it's deepened to a level that it becomes mainstream and institutionalized so that it doesn't become as and when at core basis. The other point that we have is in connection with that. There are so many instances we have dealt with individual journalists and individual media houses in terms of the threats that they face, and proactively providing them with the securities and the systems and advice and the monitoring and the support in a way that comforts them. And it has helped so much. And we are going to continue to do that and make sure that during this election period, any at the individual level, at the individual institutional level, we are supporting you on one-on-one basis so that you are comforted in a manner that will make you feel at peace to do your work. The other thing that we are doing, we keep doing during special events, that we are going to do more from now till the election is over and beyond, is to ensure that all media houses with their strategic locations for events, we have started discussion with so many of them already, we provide on-site security for them to support them, both in terms of advising them and also in terms of having police officers and other security people there to make sure that they feel more comfortable in doing their work. This is preventive. We are not at a level of any high risks, but we think that we want to be very proactive and do this and make sure that, like my business sister said, this year's election, in terms of security, in terms of the Ghanaians that will come out from, will be so shiny that we'll continue to take our rightful place as trailblazers when it comes to showing the way in Africa. The other point that we also are doing and want to assure you, some discussion have already ongoing, regional commanders are aware, they are waiting for some template from the media houses, and very soon we are done that, is to ensure that we know that beyond your facilities, you move around all the constituencies during the elections. And that we are also working with our regional commanders. At first, you go and you try to introduce yourself to the command. Now we say we are going to engage the media houses. Give us the list of your personnel, their contact numbers, the locations that they are going to, and we will proactively engage our regional commanders, our district commanders, divisional commanders, for them to be aware. And we will also work it in such a way that some of the leaders of those, the leaders of those teams that will be going across the country, the commanders will engage them and let them know that we are waiting for your arrival. So that at the end of the day, you don't go out there looking for a contact from the security point of view. So beyond sharing this information with us, we sharing it with our commanders. By the time your officers arrive at the location, the commanders are aware that they are coming, and they'll have briefing for them, and then they're listening to their concerns, and the issues that need to be addressed will be addressed, and we work with them throughout the whole process and the whole period in such a way that when they come back, they will have a good news to tell you how they have been treated from the security point of view. The final thing that we are also considering is that at the end of it all, we are particular about the fact that when prevention fails and one or two of them slip in, we have to work together to make sure that we resolve it. And we should do that with a heart of openness and not a position that is taken, such that when we are working on the matter and information is not coming and we are not having a breakthrough in the investigation, then the whole thing is turned as if we are not doing what we're supposed to do. So we want to assure you that all the matters that will come to our attention during all this period and beyond will move on it with the speed of light. But the only issue is this. We need your support when it comes to moving on it. At times you start a case and the people are not showing the interest. You keep pushing forward and it becomes like I have reported it. The next place that you hear of it is in the media. Because now it has become the norm that when they report, said I'm engaged here or there, and when the investigation stalls, a couple of days time they come and they said the police is not doing anything about it. So we want to plead with you. When you start a journey with us, look at it that it is not a journey by a road transport where you can ask the driver to stop anywhere and jet off. Consider it to be a journey by air. There's no stopping until we get to the destination. This will help us so that at the end of the day, if we get to the point that we cannot break the case, understand us, because that is not a Ghanaian problem. That is not an African problem. It is a problem everywhere where cases happen, and at times it takes years for the case to be solved. So you see that when it happens and we are not solving it, in the past, the challenge had been that we have no mechanism for tracking those cases. But on our watch, for the first time in the history of this country, we have established a cold case unit. And this case unit, cold case unit, is following up on all major cases that have still been unresolved. And our commitment to ourselves, our commitment to the families involved, and our commitment to God is that if he's gracious enough for us to solve it on our watch, we will be glad. But if not, we'll prepare the grounds with the evidence and with the files so kept, well kept, as is done in other countries, so that if it is not done today, maybe it can be done 30 years down the line, so that nobody will think that it can get, you can do something and run away from it. In a similar case, we have monitored and we have worked on with families of major cases, including my brother Ahmed Swali, and the family will tell you the frequency of our engagement and the work that we have done and we continue to do. But unfortunate thing is this, when all these things are happening, the people who will go out there and be talking, they have information. At times, they know a little piece of the puzzle that can help us to solve it. But for one reason or the other, and at times for group interest sake, they choose to come forward. And yet, they want to take advantage of that same situation in order to make gains. When that happens, we are virtually insulting the families involved. So we should stop it. It's either you support us to unravel it, or you allow the family and the police to keep working on it until the grace of God help us to break the case. Then you may know something, and you may not come forward to talk about it, and we are struggling to have a breakthrough in the case, and you are so making life uncomfortable for us with unconstructive criticisms. And this is something that we all have to look at. It is not going to help us. So these are some of the few specifics we are doing, and we want to assure you that any other thing that, as we keep engaging, you think we have to do during this election period and beyond to safeguard media freedom and also protect the wonderful people behind the media, we can assure you, because we want to be the best. And being the best, you don't judge yourself, and you'll be judged by the people you serve. We are ready to accommodate them by introducing or continue practicing what we call demand-driven policing, where it is what you want is what you get. So that if you tell us all the issues, we'll factor them into our overall plan and make sure that we'll have a holistic approach, ensuring that there is freedom for all of us. To conclude on 2 points, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. The first one, the role of stakeholders. My sister and all the others have spoken about it. If we all play our roles well, it will make a lot of difference. But because they have said a lot, let me say one other thing that has. The time has come for us to go beyond the inter-stakeholder or, for political reasons, inter-party criticisms or condemnation of attack of journalists and move to intra-party, intra-stakeholder criticisms on attack of journalists and security personnel. And what is it? When the attack favors one group, they criticize the other one, come to defend it and protect the people to them. We are looking for a day where it becomes rather condemnation, where you find one of your own messing up, will be another level of maturity and our democratic dispensation. Let's look at that. The last one is to do with the public. The public, we want to appeal to them. They are our masters and we are the servants. If you send your servants out to work and they are attacked, media, and the attack is unconstructive, defend us, come to our aid, so that when we are working for you, we will be motivated to do more, because our masters, we know, have our back. But in most of the cases, something happens and the public is quiet and we are taking on in a manner unjustifiably, and it becomes so difficult for us to defend ourselves. And the question is that it takes the grace of God for us to get the courage the next day and come out there and continue to do the wonderful thing that we do to serve you. So public, we are pleading. Be on our side all the time by doing 2 things. Support us when we get it right. Encourage us when we get it wrong, after you have criticized us and done so constructively, and we'll be open for all that. And finally, to my colleagues in the media, 2 last points. My brother came to say the whole thing in an ambushing manner, and I'm not ready to respond to them because that will be for another day. But the beauty of it is that He didn't say that the police has breached any law. So at least we are within law in all her actions. So that settles the scores. So all the points he was making was an appeal to, well, if you make it, the way you make it will determine the how it is received. So we have heard him, and maybe he'll come again, and we look forward to that. But we plead with you to do three things for us from the media space. The first one, it has been talked about, misinformation, disinformation. Look at recently what happened in the UK. And the approach of even the law enforcement system and the legal system, if it has been adopted here in Ghana, heaven will break loose. People arrested from a point of arrest to a court by 24 hours, the case is decided and they are jailed and that's it. Everybody is protecting their territory, their country, because there's no alternative. So at times we hear a bit of double standard here and there. We want us all to come to the realization that nobody, either individual or group, is bigger than Ghana. And Ghana, from democratic perspective, we all have a common share. And democratically, that common share is your term as you print and put there on the paper. Nobody does it twice. Only once. So your share of the Ghanaian cake is this one. It may be slightly better by natural design, but it's still a term. So we should have that on mind and know that we are all equal people in a wonderful country given by God to us. So disinformation and misinformation, as I've always said, have no legs, individually, institutionally, they carry them. So if you stop carrying it, it will stop what? Going out and using your gatekeeper role. You can shut it. Because so do that for us during this election year and behold. Let's shame all those who want to use misinformation, disinformation to their advantage and to the disadvantage of the collective whole of Ghana. Let's shame them and let them know that we will not allow them for their selfish interest to disturb the wonderful peace, security, law and order we enjoy, which is the envy of those within the sub-region and beyond. Finally, I'm pleading to the media, as it was said by my brother, the EU ambassador, the responsibility for declaring of election results will be any lame. The responsibility for declaring election results rests with the EC. So let's respect that. Because when results are declared wrongly from the wrong source and it becomes multiple in the environment, it is in itself a disinformation and misinformation, this time round, not created by anybody, but we the carriers. And if you're able to do that for these elections, even if God called me to glory and nobody attend my funeral, I'll be happy. Because it put the whole country and everybody on tenterhooks. And it's something we can avoid. So let's do that. And closely related to that is post-election results declaration reporting. And let me come to where I belong. Me again in Ibro from your Cotino Council. To become one chassis or one furniture. The point is this. When the results are declared, Obiari Ayania, Obiadin Kunim Ayanide. The meaning of that is that obi kita fuel, obi kita manches. So when you are reporting on it and it's not well done, udi ja, udi manches, any fuel, a boom, nenya suya, all of us will suffer. So why is we try to report, let us manage it in such a way that the losers will feel respected, the winners will be allowed to be measured in their jubilation. Because at times, we'll be any break, and queen, now the mic, I could, and then I'll pass out. When it happens like that, your guess is as good as mine. I thank you.
Thank you so much. That's the Inspector General of Police, Dr. George Ekufu-Dampare, with our keynote address for today. And we see the standing ovation. Thank you so much. It's at this point that I would like to introduce my panelists for today. Then we can hear messages from various journalists on defending media freedom. The hashtag is still Defend Media Freedom GH. In no particular order, I'd like to bring up on stage Professor Abna Enimua Yeboah Benning, Associate Professor, School of Communications, University of Ghana, Lagos. I'd also introduce Cecil Sonkwa Mills, President, Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, GIBA. We also like to bring up Mr. George Sapong, Executive Secretary, National Media Commission. I'd also bring up Suleiman Abraima, Executive Director, Media Foundation for West Africa. I'd also bring up Samson Ladi Anyenene, legal practitioner, host of Newsfile. And then joining us, Vazum Manasseh Azuria Wini, investigative journalist, also joining us for the panel discussion. So at this point, we'll start by taking a few messages from my colleagues on the hashtag Defend Media Freedom, then we get talking. Our panel discussion, a segment that many of you have been waiting for. We are hoping that this will be very interactive. My guests are seated, at least. Thankfully, I have two former GJA award winners with us. And of course, I'm sure that they will be representing the interests of journalists. Today, we've heard a lot of talk about citizens are suffering. Security people are also suffering. Why the special attention on journalists is the key thing that many people have said, at least with the hashtag Defend Media GH going on. So Samson, at least you have represented most of the journalists that have been attacked over the period, at least in terms of giving them legal advice amongst others. Really, the case that journalists are not free. What really is the attention or the noise about defending media freedom?
It's very good noise, and I'd like to begin on this note. Professor Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu, now Justice of the Supreme Court, writing in The Law and the Media in Ghana, 2000, edited by Professor Kwame Karkari and Kofi Komado, made this note, quote, "The need to uphold the freedom of speech and expression is considered fundamental to democratic governance and the operation of a democratic society. Such protection ensures the nurturing and growth of a market in ideas which guarantees the free flow of information from the governors to the governed and vice versa." I'll read the next statement and make a point to you by telling a story. On the basis of the representation I have had to do for journalists, particularly those who have been assaulted, who have been maimed, and that is from Europe's Council of the Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights. He said this in October 2011. Mm-hmm. It's something I have marked, and when I'm advocating before judges in the courts, in seeking protection for journalists and the media, I never forget to remind the judges about this. Quote, too many nations around the world know that, like democracy, freedom of the media and freedom of speech do not come naturally and cannot be taken for granted. That's why we are here today. They don't come naturally and they must not be taken for granted. They must be constantly justified. That's what we are here to do this evening. Constantly justified, constantly reaffirmed, and constantly strengthened. Three things. Now, if we went back to Manalante, I heard some comments about him.
Yes.
I believe that what I'm trying to do may set a certain tone for your best of experts here to be able to ground some of the things we talk about. Manalante in 2012 was simply doing a reporting job of a journalist after the elections. He was harmed by MPP supporters because they were angry that they had lost elections. Right after it happened, there was an entourage that came to Multimedia to plead, and they openly spoke on the television, assuring that they would do everything to assist the young man. Because of that, no legal processes were taken because the media organization was understanding. As we speak today, they have not honored any of that promise. Manalante has been struggling. After a point, he couldn't work anymore. He had to leave. Just recently, I had to write to remind those people, Elizabeth Ohene, Nana Akomia, and someone else at the presidency, that you made a promise to this young man, and I wrote also to the party's office. Mm-hmm. You made a promise to this young man. Now, he's down. He can't work to take care of himself. He has a family. It's been about 4 months or so. They've not dignified a Twitter reply.
No response.
Yes.
Okay.
You talk about Latif Idrisu in March of 2018.
Yeah.
What was he doing? Koko Endo has been arrested for for treason charge for some comments. He goes to the police headquarters, a place where he felt very safe. The police officers, there's a crowd, and they are trying to get the crowd away. He simply asked the question, what's the name of this vehicle which you are using to protect the facilities and installation and to avoid chaos? That's all. One officer gets angry. They beat him to pulp. Latif, as we speak, has done a number of surgeries. In the face of medical reports from Kolebu, specialists in Kolebu and America, the police insist that there was no CCTV footage coverage on that day in that sensitive place. So this is an attempt to prevent even the prosecution from getting to easily prove the case. They say that there was no CCTV coverage on that day, so they have nothing to show because they insist that their men were not the ones who harmed him.
And we are still in court on that matter.
Who harmed him and for what purpose? Now, the media commission attempted a settlement.
Okay.
Initially, it was working. Then it suddenly they just backed out.
The police?
Yes.
Okay.
They were not interested. When we were about to start trial, sometime last year, even the Attorney General, seeing the circumstance, said, let's pause. Let's not go through trial. Let's get back to the police.